Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're starting off a whole new context. We're working with the flight response, and I think that one's decently self-explanatory. It's the response that makes us want to literally escape, go away, leave, and in no short order. So we want to do it really usually quite quickly. So I think of the flight response as inherently carrying within it a certain level of anxiety and fear. So that makes it perfect that we're starting off with transforming fear for all things related to your flight responses that you have. And when I say that, I certainly am not meaning to insinuate that we're going to be scooping it all up and addressing all the things all at once that ever were and ever will be. Rather that the pieces that are ready to go, the layers that are here for you, that you're present to, that relate to the themes that we're discussing, and those elements, and to think otherwise actually places an excessive amount of stress in our system, and it usually sets up with a cycle of, well, failure, because we think that we did something wrong by not being able to address every little thing. So just know that, and that's a really common thing that happens in these types of endeavors. So I see that pitfall often with folks. Okay, thank you all for the info. So appreciating everything that you've shared. Love that. And we're gonna be underway in just a moment. So I'm gonna invite you to settle on in, getting comfy and cozy. I'm in the middle of rearranging my offices, so forgive the. I'm just noticing in the background my spare body talk posters that are getting moved around into other locations. I have two offices in my house, and I'm in the middle of a spring cleaning, so please forgive that. And as you settle on in here, getting comfy and cozy, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it. Taking time to melt into it and melt with it. And I'm going to invite you on purpose to notice anything in particular that feels pleasant to be with, outwardly or inwardly, wherever your gaze may be. And whatever you land on that's pleasant, that's easeful, that's beautiful, that's joyful in this moment. I invite you to notice what it is you like the most about that in this particular moment. And as we connect to that thing, and you notice all the juiciness, all that feels really good for you about that. Again, the invitation is to savor it and to melt with it. Now, as that happens, noticing how the body mind responds as you breathe this in. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here exactly as you are in this moment. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet opportunity for us all to connect in this way today. Thank you to the villages of support around you. And thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages that have created you. And the deepest of gratitude to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, to those that ensured our survival, and for those of us that have been here, that have been creating others, we give thanks for those that have caretaken our lands, that have provided the nourishment for our offspring, for our future generations. And we ask that this work live on in good ways today. May it serve as a blessing for you and yours. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Okay, so I'm going to invite us to imagine that you can see all of your bones, your entire skeletal system. And I'm going to invite you to connect it into the earth below, into the ground. But we're doing it in a very specific way. We're actually going to go all the way to the very center point of the core of this particular planet. As we connect your skeletal system, your very bones, into the still point of the very center point of the planet Earth, it's offering the energy of grounding in a way that bypasses or gets around all of the kerfuffles, let's call them, or spikes of energy that happen from solar waves being really quite solar, pardon me, solar flares being quite active, or times when they're less active, either which way, helping you to be grounded through any particular weather from solar flares or any waves of energy that help to, or that not help to you, but that can uproot us or outground us. Outground us? That's a word for today. To the opposite of grounding, unground us. There we go. And as we support the body mind in connecting into the very center, into the very core of the earth herself, it also invites you and your bones, your muscular system, your digestive system, your nervous system, and your immune system to all land in the very center of their core as well. And as we support the various systems of the body in becoming centered, I actually see them like almost like little overlays, one on top of the other, becoming centered. And as that happens, it brings things into focus in a way that lets the systems work synergistically together and enhances the overall functioning of your entire system. And as that supportively comes into union in this way of connection, running the permissions that it's safe to be centered in connection. It's safe to be centered in connection. And the flight response speaks up and it says essentially, no, it's not. No, it's not at all. And here's where we're going to give a little bit of a entry point into a very substantial subsession, so to speak. So as we look at what's been taking us off course, what's been helping us to, not necessarily helpful, but seemingly helpful, to keep us distracted or not so focused on what's at hand, which I'm speaking sort of out of both sides of my mouth at the same time here. There's a tendency to want to do those sorts of things and see them as helpful because it creates an avoidance and it creates short-term relief, yet it usually compiles into long-term suffering. So to support this sort of push-pull of the flight response wanting to take us off course in a way that seems to be helpful, we're going to start off this little body talk session, subsession, pardon me, with working with the kidneys, the kidney meridian, which stores our capacity to process fear. And we're going into very specifically the maternal side, and we're looking at going 18 generations back, no small amount. And we're looking at all the messaging that women in your entire maternal line heard around, you shouldn't be here as you are. Part of you isn't acceptable as you are. That part should be taken out and it should go away. And there was concern, obviously, related to that, around, well, will I be acceptable enough? Will I be good enough? Will I be valued enough? Will I be cherished enough? Will I be et cetera enough if I'm myself? So inherently within this is the pattern of I should never be myself. And that way, as long as I'm pleasing enough to anybody else with the facade that I'll carry and broadcast and project around, then I'll be able to be eternally accepted. And I won't have to run the risk of being outcast or shunned or not seen as good enough. So as we work with that particular essence, it's another form of people-pleasing that's built in, so to speak, here. This is where the people-pleasing, the fawn response, overlaps with the flight response to a degree. And I see it as this pattern particularly as being stored as a gigantic knot between the sacral chakra and the solar plexus chakra. And there's a sense here of nothing being able to unwind, nothing being able to let go of. There's a sense of very deep, deep contraction and deep, deep holding because it's been 18 generations worth. It's become familiar for this to be knotted up in this way, in these energetic configurations. So we begin to just gently tease that apart. We're going to run a Sidri on it. It's going to continue for the next 8 days, so into even including the first day of our next session. We're going to run that Sidri, as I mentioned. We're going to start off with C, circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins. Hormones. And endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help the nervous system, the immune system, and really, for that matter, most of our body-mind to heal. And we're going to work with circulating the balance of yin and yang, of nourishment and protection, or feminine and masculine energy. And then working here with hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. Then D4 defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may seem like there was none before. And then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. We can think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Okay. And as that happens, we're also going to run diaphragm to intestines, diaphragm being our center for emotional processing. And control and releasing that down to the intestines to support letting go. As we open up that particular pathway between diaphragm to intestines, it also allows for even more of that adhesed energy between the two chakras, the sexual and the solar plexus, to be more readily digested, so to speak. Okay, so at the same time as all of that, we're going to connect the heart chakra to the solar and the sacral chakras. In essence, bathing them with harmony, bathing them with love and respect in a way that lets these two figure out how to better communicate without the need to have to avoid, run away. Without the need to have to escape, and particularly escaping one's own essence and covering that up or masking that. And as we bring in the heart chakra, it actually helps to calm down everything below it. And it's almost as if the heart chakra is whispering. Your humanness is welcome here, my love. Your humanness is welcome here, my love. And I see that creating even more grounding. It's like tagging into or teaming into or tethering into, that might be the best way to put it, the earlier work we did with centering you to the center of the earth itself. As the heart further supports this essence, although it's not classically a grounder, it actually helps to ease the capacity to be with what's happening in the body mind, not to have to run away or escape it. So it supports this whole entire system in being at ease within itself. Got it. Okay, love. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay. And just as the heart grounded the lower body or everything below it, it also wants to support an uplifting, rising energy to all the chakras or all the energies that are above the heart. As we support the upper body above the heart and the head itself in rising. And uplifting as we link this heart chakra's energy flow upwards as well as we did downwards, the two directionalities support each other. So as the lower body is grounded into itself, and by lower body, I'm using that term very differently, I'm meaning anything below the heart. It actually helps everything above the heart to rise. And to support this, for the back of the heart, imagine that my hand is there, providing energetic support that allows the lower body to root and the upper body to rise. Everything below the heart to root down, to ground, and everything above the heart to rise. And as we support this, unhooking the belief system, I don't want to be here. And it's coming off of the pancreatic reflex point, or spleen 21 acupuncture point, hangs out roughly about a hand's width down from the outside edge of that armpit. And it's actually meant to take in the sweetness of life, to process and integrate the divine embrace. And when we feel accepted, embraced, loved by that which is divine, it's as if everything else gets to settle into, in an integrative way, the sweetness of what it means to be alive. And inherent within this, there seems to be like an addiction or a familiarity, so to speak, to suffering. And there's a very deeply rooted subconscious belief connected to this of, I deserve to suffer. Like, that's why I was created. That's why I'm here. That's what I should do. That's what I should propagate. And the flight response actually keeps that in check by means of getting really close to getting that thing that you were after, that success, that healing, that getting really, really close to like the end of something. And then that, like, the bottom falls out. And so you gotta keep scrambling to keep chasing it. In essence, if this whole pattern could speak, it might say something to the effect of, better I should be in a chronic state of wanting it than ever having it. And it's as if the flight response keeps us looping in the wanting of it without getting to have it. Okay, so we're actually going to run another seed tree on this. It's going to run for the next 4 days. And if we're linking that, each day is going to be connected into releasing this, not just from all the parts and pieces that I've reflected on currently, but also one at a time through each chamber of the heart, and one at a time through each ventricle of the brain. Okay, so there's 4 ventricles in the brain and there's 4 chambers in the heart. So the first ventricle on the first day and the left atrium on the first day, ventricle number 2 on the second day, and the left ventricle on the second day. On the third day, working through the third ventricle and the right atrium, and the fourth day, working the fourth ventricle and the, pardon me, the yeah, the fourth ventricle and the right ventricle of the heart. Okay, so as we work with that in that particular way, very intricate, we're also bringing in all 5 senses to support staying in focus or on point with this. And similarly to how we went through the ventricles of the brain and the chambers of the heart, we're going to do the same, but for the 4 layers of the cortex. So we're going to connect in on that first day the temporal lobes that work with language and hearing. They hang out just above the ears. On the second day, working with the occipital cortex, which works with vision. The third, the parietal, which takes in our sensory information. And the fourth, our frontal lobe, which works with creating, pardon me, works with movements, creating a plan to move forward, as well as working with, in general, our higher essence, our compassion, our empathy, our higher self. So as we work with this in this particular way, unhooking this pattern, it's as if I see the entire body mind light up. It's like, oh, I have a plan, and I can actually get out of this loop that I've been stuck in. And everything is glowing and brimming with optimism and enthusiasm. It's like, yes, there's a way out of this. There's a way out, ironically, of the flight response. And the flight response itself may chronically be in a way of seeking to get out. And what if we could actually allow that flight response to actually get out of the need to get out of what it's in? By means of, again, grounding, we're going to link that all in now to the earth elements and to its meridians, that of the spleen and the stomach, which help us to literally exist in the sweetness, in the joy, in the nourishment of what it means to be alive in this life. And related to that, we're releasing the expectation of rejection, in particular from the paternal lines. And as we release this expectation of rejection, we're also unhooking with it the belief system or this idea that people misunderstand you, that you will never be understood. And we're unhooking that again from all five senses, as well as actually from the region of the base of the throat, the thoracic inlet diaphragm. And we're unhooking from the shoulders this idea that it's your responsibility to make people understand you and where you're coming from. Okay, we're going to tap this part out here. Interesting. Okay, so invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay. We're going to come back to the essence of, I just need to get out of here. I just want out. And now we're connecting that into that time of birth, right before you actually get out. And right as you're crowning, that essence of the drive that it takes to literally make your way out. And I'm going to say that involves a lot of energy from the planetary energy of Mars. And when you're very first born, when you're very first out of the womb space, it actually informs your rising sign, your rising astrological sign, which is different than your sun sign or your moon sign. And it's often how people perceive you. It's often how you feel that people receive you, or what they seem to sense in you, what they seem to see in you. So it relates to what time you were born. And that energy around that drive, again, to just I gotta get out of here. In addition to tying into sort of that Mars type of drive, it also connects us to our very first house, which is where the rising sign gets determined. And in general, this varies a little bit with your personal astrology and general astrology. In general, the first house works with the energy of Aries and the energy of Mars and the energy of the lungs to create that first connection to life itself, and that very first way that you sense that you can respond versus react to life, as well as the way that you circulate your energy. And it's a process that also somehow involves a little bit of surrender. So when you're born, there's really nothing left to do. The other side of, like, I made it through, then there's this just like opening to, I didn't, and a surrender into now what? And as we work with this, that moment just before that energy gets configured into your astrological chart, your astrological makeup that creates the essence or the persona of how you are perceived and received. Just before that, there's again this energy of like, I just got to get out of here now. And we're working with that drive, that flight, that desire in a good way. And imagine that we can take that essence of the good, I gotta get out of here. And we can actually link it into all the areas of influence that the planetary energy of Mars has, as well as that very first astrological house that you have in your particular chart. That'll be different for every one of you, whatever your rising sign is. Mine happens to be Leo. So that drive to, for instance, for Leo energy, to connect to the sensual, to the playfulness, to the warmth, to vitality, to people often perceive me as being healthier and alive and sensual in a way that I sometimes can't relate to or don't always feel inside me, for instance, just as an example. But that's the perception. And as we work with this energy, just before you get born, linking that again into all the areas that the planetary of energy of Mars influences, all the areas where we actually need to survive by means of competing, by means of having good drive, by means of making things happen. And in essence, it's a lot of words to say it helps you to take that step forward to create action. So linking that into all the muscles in the body, all the nerves in the body, all the ligaments, all the tendons, all the bones in the body that help us to literally move forward, that help us to advance. And as we do that, unhooking the belief system that it's you that has to do the driving and instead allowing it instead to be a surrender. What if the way forward was by means of surrendering and not by having to personally be the driver of? It's kind of working with, I'm being very wordy this morning, that same sort of feeling that happens right when you're at that precipice of you've been driving at something for so long and so hard that it's actually created on a life of its own, and regardless of what you do anymore, it's just going to take over and happen for you. If you can relate to that, if you've ever had that happen for you. And then it's just a surrendering into the arrival of what's naturally here for you. And in that moment of surrender, there seems to be this stuck energy of feeling like a failure for surrendering and thinking that, again, you had to be the driver. And that's what's keeping the flight response stuck, is the addiction to thinking you're the one thinking that you have to create the drive. So as we work with that, it's a lot of words. I'm not sure how to sum that up more succinctly, though. I felt like that required a little bit of explanation. For that, we're actually going to run another seed tree, all the same steps as before. Lots of seed trees today. It's going to run for 6 days. Surrendering into the steady stream that's already been provided by all your past actions, all your past energy, all the past work that you've done, and surrendering it into it to allow for it to be completed, to allow for that last stage of the birth process to show up. But if we keep thinking that we're the one driving for it, we never actually get to be born. We never actually get to reach completion. We never get to actually reach that point of success. So as we work with this, that Sidri that's running for the next 6 days alongside of it, we're bringing in the planetary energy of the sun and the moon, masculine and feminine energies alike, into the eyes to have the vision to see the course, as well as the ears to hear your internal thoughts that support the need for surrender, the desire and the need alike, I should say, for surrender, as well as into the nose to allow for the sense of smell to navigate again our way through this that allows for primal surrender to happen. And as we allow for the essence of primal surrender to show up, it's as if it's the perfect antidote to the desire to escape or run away. As we surrender into what's here in this moment without trying to fix it, change it, govern it, manage it, or do anything else about it, there's a softening and an opening of all the layers of resistance that have kept again that same drive, that same desire to run away in check. And as that melts away, I see the energy of all seven chakras beginning to realign, and we're linking them all the way up to the prefrontal cortex. Our prefrontal cortex is again the area where we have our higher self, our empathy. And as we connect to this wisdom that's here, much like the heart of the head, we're linking it through to the entire midline of the body, which if the midline could talk, it might say, "I trust and I surrender. I trust and I surrender. I trust and I surrender. I trust surrender, and I surrender to trust." At the same time, running the permissions, it's safe this time. It's different and it's safe this time. It's different and it's safe this time. Okay, we're going to tap this out. We also need to do additional tapping over the prefrontal cortex to support that. So I invite you to breathe and to receive here. Okay. Next up, we're actually working with the relationship between the TMJ, the jaw joints, and the sacroiliac, the hip joints, which also serve to support digestion. And here we're working with like the feeling like you need to work harder than is actually even possible to get the nourishment that you might need. So it's carrying with it the belief system that receiving nourishment, receiving nourishing energy, receiving energy period from what you take in feels like it's absolutely not going to happen. It feels impossible. So as we begin to reconnect the jaws to the backs of the hips, the TMJs to the SIs, we're going to simultaneously connect the vomer bone, which hangs out in the middle of the nose socket, to The vomer bone, pardon me, vomer bone to xiphoid, which hangs out at the base of the sternum in the midline there. And as we connect these two, it allows for the front of the spine, the ligament that runs there, to relax, which in turn opens up the heart. Okay, as that happens, we're going to simultaneously release some adhesions through the entire jaw now, including the masseter muscle and the buccinator muscle. Okay, all the muscles. And it's going into even the inner jaw, on the inside of the mouth, the pterygoid muscles. And here we're releasing control by means of suffering. Like I'm in control as long as I'm in pain, hurt, challenge, or suffering. So I'm going to invite you for the next little while, next few days, as much or as little as feels right to you, to notice our particular pattern of having a sense of, oh yes, of course this is happening. Of course this is going wrong. Of course this is hurting. Of course that person said that same thing to me that they always do, that they know annoys me, or whatever the case might be here. And just noticing how that actually reinforces a sense of familiarity and a sense of control. You might not be happy about it, but there's a sense of, okay, this is how it is. And I remember this. This is something I'm used to. And the more you can actually observe that, the more it can begin to gently, layer by layer, bit by bit, shift, change, and fall away. So to support that, we're going to link again all five senses, consciousness of awareness, in through the all things jaw, including the pterygoid muscle, masseter muscle, all the things that I mentioned earlier there. The buccinator muscle, I don't think I've spoken to that one, runs in front of the masseter. So the masseter opens and closes her jaw. It helps us to masticate or chew. The buccinator is just in front of that. It's musculature in through the cheek, and it helps us to move our cheeks around in other ways for self-expression. This is also working with the consciousness of opening your expressive nature, opening up to expressing yourself in a way that gets to happen when we're on the other side of needing to be stuck in a controlled way. So the other side of control leads to a whole lot of openness to express ourselves in ways that we don't typically let ourselves do when we're busy controlling ourselves to present ourselves in a certain way or a familiar way. In essence, it's giving you permission to get to be a little bit silly, to get to play a little bit, to get to find pleasure in lightheartedness, in nooks and crannies which you might be typically addressing as quite serious. And to support this, we're unhooking the belief system that life should be taken as seriously as a heart attack. Life should be taken as seriously as a heart attack. We're going to also release that belief system from the nervous system of the heart, the heart brain. And underlying that, unhooking the need to reinforce self-importance by taking life seriously. And then we're linking that into house five, which actually is the house of Leo, the house of play, of pleasure, of joyfulness, of inner child. A house of the heart, which supports our sense of self and being able to be harmonious within that sense of self internally, within here, as well as gets to be projected out there around us. We're going to also look at the. Oh, I lost my train of thought. I let somebody into the waiting room for a second there. Give me one moment to come back. Okay, this is what it was. We're unhooking the pattern that says something to this effect. As long as I steadfastly heal everything, then I'll have control over what happens in my life. As long as I'm focused on healing everything that goes wrong in me, then I'll have control again. So looking at that rigidity, gonna unhook that one. I think I have this one in spades, personally. We're gonna unhook that through the kidney 24 points, as well as the muscles that it overlays through here, the pec muscles. The kidney 24 points is the ancestral spiritual burial ground. This is messaging that's not even your own. This is messaging that's come in through the family lines, as if it's whispering, like it's your job to fix this, to heal us, and to gain control of the health of our entire lineage again. As we release that, also releasing the pattern of guilt, shame, and on a certain level, the deep desire to say, fuck that noise and run away from it all. Okay. The deep, deep voice underneath that says, screw that, I'm out of here. And the desire to want to escape the family lineage ultimately attracts the desire for more healing, which ultimately creates this as a vicious loop that keeps us stuck, spinning our wheels. And we stay bound here. We're simply unhooking this whole pattern. And with that, releasing what seems to be gluing it is low self-esteem. So we're going to run lymphatic drainage, lymphatic circulation through this kidney 24 point, through the musculature of the pec muscles, as well as through the entire heart, heart brain. And this area is also connected to our love line. It's connected to how it is we perceive love, how we receive love, how we offer love, and all of the beliefs, thoughts, ideas that we contain within ourselves about love. Okay, love. Huh. We're going to tap that part out here. Invitation to breathe and receive here. Okay, and then we're going to release a lot of resentment, anger around the pattern that we just released, along with feeling like there might be some unspoken words or repressed expression, ultimately. As that comes off of the jaw, releasing with it the belief that you should have to hold that in the first place. And related to that, that you shouldn't run your mouth, that you shouldn't like ultimately lose control and let the mouth take on a mind of its own, and that somehow should be restrained or suppressed or watched out for carefully. And then to release that through here. We're going to connect it through to the lungs, bringing in healthy connection to flow, healthy connection of breath, and healthy connection as well to what the lungs do perhaps best, which is to circulate our energy and not allowing anything to get stagnant or restrained or suppressed, but instead allowing things to gracefully move and flow through us. As we embrace the gift of the lungs, I see the mouth the jaw, settling into their natural healthy rhythms, their natural consciousness. And we're linking that all now to house 12, house of endings, releasing, making space, house of allowing. In particular, also house of individuation, house of authentically landing in our true sense of self. And with that, releasing resentment, off of the house 12 itself, off of the liver as well, which is connected in here as well. And specifically around the resentment around what didn't happen, what didn't show up, the resentment around lack, the resentment of how you thought life could have happened differently, but didn't. Or the things that seemed somehow to be missing after all that you've done. And looking at inherent regrets within that and releasing that through the liver itself, along with its meridian. I'm going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. And I invite you to touch on that resource again one more time if that feels right for you. And now I'm actually debating between two different songs that I wanted to play for you. Okay, there is one I mentioned at the very beginning that I don't think I had the recording on at that point, that I wasn't sure if it was going to be a repeat or not. So I'm actually going to switch gears from that one, and I'll double check the previous recording. So I've got a second song that also seems to be really pertinent to play right now. And I have no idea why, but it's just what my intuition is stuck on. So I'm going to intuitively play a song. It's called Savage Daughter, and it's from the album Savage Daughter. I'll link it in here. And I apologize to the artist, as I will likely butcher the pronunciation of the name, Ekaterina Shalahova. So I invite you to breathe in this essence and the vibrations of Savage Daughter as you continue to be present to the resource and any particular elements in the session that spoke to you deeply. Breathing here, receiving here.
In the curve of old bones, I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot, cursing sharp stones. I am my mother's savage daughter. I will not cut my hair, I will not lower my voice. My mother's child dances in the darkness. She sings heathen songs by the light of the moon, and watches the stars and renames the planets and dreams she can reach them with a song and a broom.
Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for being here as you are, and thank you for not lowering your voice, and thank you for all that you express as loudly as you do in this world. Mwah. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Bye for now, y'all, and I'll see you next week. I want to let you know that next week is actually at the same time. It's going to be another morning session, as in the evening, not in the evening, in the afternoon, I have some dental work that's happening. So we have three in a row at this time. Today was one of those three. So apologies for not giving you more notice than that. I apologize. And let me know if I can support anybody after the call in any particular way. I'm going to sign off for now and wish you the most beautiful rest of your day and week ahead. And you're most welcome, amazing, and love you too. Right back to y'all. Mwah.